John Lazor joining us on the Hadid Mercer Road Cleaning Hotline. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. And Lays, what is the case in Blacksburg? What do you make of this week? Four more departures, three seniors, and one, Josh Jackson, who's going to leave the program. What do you make of this entire week that you've seen go down?
And one, Josh Jackson. I think it's like anything, Wes. You want to lump them together because of the timing, and clearly these are guys that knew each other and, you know, are friends and teammates and had done that for a reason. But at the same time, I think you break them down individually, and they make sense for the most part, you know, particularly with Josh Jackson. Unfortunately, with the injury that he had last year and Ryan Willis coming in, playing the way he did. And that's kind of college football now. You know, the Hokies recruit Quincy Patterson and continue to recruit quarterbacks of the future. And, you know, that one makes a little bit of sense. Chris Cunningham didn't play nearly as much or wasn't as involved in the offense this past year as he was 2 years before and even the 3 years before that. So, you know, you look at everyone individually, and like Coach Fuente said, you know, you wish these guys well. I think that's the thing that's hurtful is that you know these guys and you have a relationship with them, and that's certainly true for me, and you would have loved to see them complete their careers at Hokies, but if that's not where they feel that they want to be or they should be or need to be, then you wish them well, and as I heard from the football office yesterday walking through there, you know, ready to move forward with what we feel like is a very talented roster.
You bring up the point that I brought up. You can't blanket statement everything. And even the nine that have left, the three that have been dismissed, they're different stories on different levels, including this case with certain situations like the grad transfer rule. And Josh Jackson's not a senior, but he applies by graduating in May. So it's different, Lays. It's the optics of how many. It's the frequency. And that's where fans, they don't look at individual basis. The one thing that keeps being brought up is the word disconnect. And you're around this team. I know you're limited in what you can say because you have that relationship with certain coaches and players. But people have wondered, is there a disconnect between the staff and the players, the head coach and the players? Now you've got some players who, I've got to be fair to the story, have come out and said, hey, everything's going to be all right. I think it's hashtag we're all in. Do you pick up that there's a disconnect between the head coach and some players? Is it some players in the team? I mean, what's your feel?
Well, first and foremost, I've never been around a coach that I've respected more in terms of his ability to be candid than Justin Fuente. You know, I don't know the relationships that he has with guys individually, but I wouldn't say that just off of my observation. And that is not by any means an outside observation. That's an inside observation. I see the way that these guys are coached and they're interacted with. And I think sometimes, when people are candid, when people are honest about where you might stand in the pecking order, you may have a different view. And I'm not saying that for any of these guys. You know, I won't say that I've talked to these guys about their decisions or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, I've seen and where some of those guys were going to be in terms of the plans for going forward. So, no, I don't think there's a systemic disconnect. I think a lot of these guys are very close with Justin Fuente or their respective position coaches. And I continue to believe that this is one of the most talented groups of coaches in the country that's headed in a direction that Coach Fuente won't deviate off of. And I think you see that sometimes, particularly in this era of, you know, there being a platform for everybody to get their message out, which in many ways is good, but in many ways also kind of leads to misperceptions, I think, along the way. He's never deviated from that. You know, he knows that when he dismisses someone from the team, particularly when that's a talented player, there's going to be backlash. But to his credit, you know, he's always stood firm with, this is the direction that we're going. This is the type of player that we want to represent, not only this football program, but this university. And I'm not going to steer out of the direction of some of these more difficult things. And that's a process. And it's not a day-to-day process. It's not a week-to-week process. It's not a month-to-month process. It takes some time. And clearly, you know, everyone likes to think that, okay, it's been 3 years, the transition is fully complete. You know, and that's not necessarily the case in terms of the relationships that there have or haven't been with previous and current staff members.
I know you were here Wednesday, so it's not fair to ask you what you know about it, but you were here for the hot stove banquet with the Flying Squirrels, and Wednesday night there was reportedly a long team meeting with Coach Fuente and the players. And, you know, I'm not trying to paint a silver lining to this because, you know, players are leaving, and you've got now, I think, 9 or 10 or 11 players, but I think that there's one thing you can take from this. If this is in fact it, if this was four players, 1 week, it's still January. And if there was a meeting and if whatever had to be said, it's not like last year where things just kept started and then other things just kept lingering, including things that lingered into the season. So if there's any silver lining, you hope that, hey, It's January, and what's flushed needs to be has been flushed.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on the timing. You know, that's fine. That is what it is. I don't think this is in any way representative of some of the things that transpired last year. You know, some of the things that, unfortunately, guys got themselves involved in that led to their dismissal from this team, or, you know, same could be said of coaches on this staff that are no longer here. I think that if that was the case, that's fine. That's a centering of sorts. It's also probably happened then because school has just started and conditioning has started, and that's something that you would have done anyway. So I'm not going to speculate on that other than to say, Wes, you know, don't believe everything you read. Don't believe all the speculation. Hokie football is fine. You know, just seeing Justin Fuente in the hallways, he seems to be as excited as ever about where this team's going to be next year.
He is John Lazor. He is the voice of the Hokies, and he is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. And speaking of being just fine, basketball tomorrow night in the comforts of home. The road questions, of course, will still dangle, but who or what is most key when Virginia Tech gets to face that fun zone of Syracuse?
Yeah, it's definitely one of two guys, Wes. It's Nikhil Alexander-Walker or Kerry Blackshear, just because, you know, it's going to be the 2-3 zone. We saw the way the Hokies executed against Washington, which essentially plays the same system with not quite the same personnel, and Syracuse is definitely better and more adept at running that. But you saw the Hokies have a lot of success with Nikhil being the trigger guy, as we call him, out of the nail, or the middle of the free throw line and inside that zone, and just kind of directing traffic from there. And we saw Kerry Blackshear also have a lot of success in that role. So those guys have to play well. You've got to knock down shots, obviously, against the 2-3. Syracuse is more proficient at protecting the rim than Washington was, so you might not have some of those easy backdoor looks that you did against the Huskies. But those two guys need to play well. And you're right, it's a home-road dynamic. This is a team that's played very well at home and hasn't necessarily showed that same level, albeit the competition level has been different on the road as well. So you hope that they get back inside their building and once again just center themselves before they go back on the road against a Miami team that was taken care of pretty handily by Syracuse last night.
Yeah, Syracuse, I didn't see the game, but I saw they shot the lights out of the ball. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. You can catch Lays and Mike Burnup on 96.1 FM. Buddy, have a great weekend. Thanks for jumping on and rearranging your schedule this week.
Yeah, of course, man. Feel better.
All right, gotcha. John Lazor joining us each and every week, brought to you by Cowan Gates.